Shalom to all. Today we're learning Mishnah Chayyurah, Perek Ches, Mishnah Tes, Mishnah Yod. And today's Mishnah are being learned Mishnah Chayyurah, Bas Rachel, Shishi Bezach, and Find Yerziv Kogon, Bik Arav Mamesh. Now we're going to discuss a unique din by a Bechor Ha'av. He's the firstborn to his father, and that's that a Bechor is Noitel Pishnayim. He gets double in the Yerusha and inheritance. So let's say there's two brothers, one of them is a Bechor, one's not, and the father dies. What do? Instead of dividing everything in half, we divide all of his properties and everything he has into three parts. The Bechor takes two of those, and the remaining brother takes one. Let's say there's six brothers. We do the same thing. We divide everything into seven portions. The Bechor takes two of those, and the rest are given out to the other boys. So the Mishnah tells us, HaBechor Noitel Pishnayim B'Nechzei Ha'av. The Bechor takes double in the Nechasim of the father, Ve'inei Noitel Pishnayim B'Nechzei Ha'im. But he does not take double in the Nechasim of the mother. There are certain things that are owned by the mother. These are called Nechzei Mulug. This is stuff that she brings into the marriage, which even though her husband has the rights to use them, they don't actually become the husband's. And so the Bechor does not get double of his mother's stuff, only of his father's. Also, Ve'inei Noitel Pishnayim B'Shevach, he doesn't get double of the Shevach. Let's say after the father died, it took them quite some time to divide up the Nechasim, and in the meantime, let's say they had an empty field, so the brothers got together, and they plowed and planted and weeded and hoed and did whatever it was, and by the time it came to divvy up the field, now there's a lot of wheat in it. So that's called Shevach. That's a lot of gain in the field itself. That's not considered part of the father's Yerusha, and the Bechor does not take double on that. Furthermore, V'loi B'roi K'be Mochzik, he doesn't take that which is fitting like that which is Mochzik. Mochzik means that which his father had in his hand, if you will, meaning something his father had access to, and Roy means something that's fitting. For example, there was a relative that when that person dies, his Yerusha would go to the father, and that means that when the father dies, the Yerusha is going to go to the father's sons, and then let's say a short time after the father died, that relative died, so the Yerusha is actually going to the father's sons who are now dividing everything up. The Bechor doesn't get double in that. That's called Roy, because when his father had passed away, that Yerusha was only Roy. It was eventually going to come, but it wasn't there yet. It wasn't considered Mochzik. His father didn't actually have it yet, so he doesn't get double in that either. Now, once we mention these two concepts, Shevach and Mochzik, we apply them to other situations as well. V'loy ha'isha b'ksubasa, v'loy ha'banis b'mzonoseihem, v'loy ha'yavam. Now, when we're talking about a woman getting her ksuba, this is when a woman's husband dies or divorces her, she gets to collect the ksuba. And there's also a stipulation in a ksuba that any daughters that the wife has, they're going to be fed from the estate, meaning they're going to support themselves from the money that the father left over, and yavam as well. We know that we have two brothers, we'll call them Reuven and Shimon, and let's say Reuven dies without children, so Shimon has a mitzvah to marry Reuven's wife, that's called Yibum, and the halacha is that when he does marry her, he gets to yarshin his brother Reuven. But in all these situations, v'kulon, with all these, ein notlan b'shavach, they don't take shavach, v'loy b'roy kim mochzek, they don't take roy like they do get by mochzek. So I said, for example, the woman for ksuba, when her husband died, if the property that was left over was not enough to pay her ksuba, and then there was a shevach that happened, or ra'i, something that was eventually going to come to her husband, later on did come, she doesn't get to collect her ksuba from that. Same thing with the daughters, they can't collect their monthly payments for their food from this money, and the yavim as well. When he marries his brother's wife, he doesn't get these things either. Moving on to Mishnah Yod, Eilu she'einon chozim b'yovel, the following things do not go back at yovel. Now this is a thing we find explicitly in the Torah called Sdei Achuza. We know that when the Yidden came into Eretz Yisrael, the land was divided up among the Shvatim, and every single person got a portion of land that was his. He got to keep it, and that was meant to be in his family for all subsequent generations. It went from father to father to son, so on and so forth. And the Torah tells us that if a person sells his Sdei Achuza, maybe he didn't have enough money, so he had to sell it in order to put bread on the table, by yovel, which is the 50th year, that's after seven Shemitah cycles, his field automatically goes back to him. That's what it means by chayzer yovel. So the Mishnah tells us the following things don't go back by yovel. Number one, habachayra, this double portion that the Bechor received, that's not considered like he bought it, so he doesn't have to give it back to his brothers by yovel time so they all could get a portion of it. He gets to keep it. Also, v'hayarish es ishtai, somebody who inherits his wife, and when she came into the marriage and she had as part of her possession some sort of ancestral field, a stei achuza, and then she died, so her husband, who's from Sheva Yehuda, inherited it. When he yarshins that, that's his, and he doesn't have to give it back to her family. Also, amyabim is eshes achiv, when he does yibum, like we had in the previous Mishnah, when he marries the wife of his brother who had passed away without children, and he inherited his brother, he gets to keep his properties, and he doesn't have to return them to his brother's other family members by yovel time. And also, v'hamatana, if a person gave away his stei achuza as a present to somebody else, that doesn't have to be given back by yovel. Tiver Meir, that's Rameir's opinion. Whereas Rechamim and Rechamim say matana kemecher, that no, giving some away as a present is like selling it, and so it does go back by yovel. And Rebbe Lezer says, kulon chazrim by yovel, all these situations that we mentioned, they go back by yovel time. Now, Rabbi Yochanan Breikamer, he tells us, hayirshes ishtoi, when a person inherits his wife, and among those possessions are the family burial plot. That was a normal thing that they had back in the day, a special burial area just for the family members. So he inherited that. Yachzer l'bnei mishpacha, he would have to return that to the family members because it's not his family burial plot. It's his wife's family, so he has to give that back, but they would have to pay him for it. However, he subtracts from some of the money because now he's going to be burying his wife in that burial plot. And so let's say there's 10 plots, each are $100. So they would have to pay him $1,000, but then he gives them back $100 because he is burying his wife there. So he really only gets $900. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow with Perek Tes, Mishnah Aleph and Yod. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.